The question today is, what is God like? This is part number three. We've spoken briefly concerning this question. The only way you can really know what God's like is really to look through the Bible, look at His names and what they reveal. As according to the Hebrew culture, the names meant something. As we said, the name Methuselah meant when he dies or when I die, the deluge shall come. It was a testimony for 969 years that God's going to send a flood, and they hadn't even had rain yet. So names mean so much. It show the person and the character of the person and also shows how God operates as far as names of God are concerned. Now, we've looked at the name God, and there are several different Hebrew words that's used for the name God, but we spoke of the word Elohim, which is in the beginning God, which corresponds to the Greek word in the New Testament. In John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, but it means the strong one, and refers to the greatness and majesty of God. And it's plural word, which implies that God is exceptional or unique, and also the fact is that He's a Trinity. So that it's in all three of them are involved. The doctrine of the Trinity, all three parts of the Godhead are involved in the creation. So Elohim reveals His character, the strong one. And so as a result, he was able to redeem the earth, if you please, and recreate this earth in what we call the six-day creation. And as a result, He's able to redeem fallen man because He's the strong one. Now, another Hebrew word that's translated God is used 68 times. It's the word E-L-A-H-H. And really, it's used only in Ezra and Daniel. That written in that part of the Old Testament that's really the Aramaic language. It's not really all of the whole Old Testament wasn't written in Hebrew. There's a part of Ezra and a part of Daniel that's written in Aramaic language due to the captivity in Babylon. And so the name itself, E-L-A-H-H, does not communicate anything about the Aramaic concept of God. Neither does it really contribute anything to the Hebrew understanding. It basically is just a similar word to the word Elohim, which means the strong one. So therefore, that we won't deal with that much, but it does reveal the fact that He's the strong one. There's also another word, E-L-O-W-A-H-H. It's used 53 times. And that word is really also just another form of the word Elohim, which is the strong one again. And then also there's a word T-S-U-W-R that's translated God two times, and that's one of which is mighty God. It talks about the mighty God, but it's translated, the same word's translated in Deuteronomy 32:4 as the rock. And it says this in in Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock with a capital R. So His work is perfect, all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and will not, and without iniquity, just and right is He. So He's the rock. In other words, it's a capital R. And that's, if we think about that, that's the same one that Moses smote in the desert and got water out of. It's the same one that Moses hid himself in when he wanted to see God. And folks, the only way you'll ever see God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So all these Old Testament Hebrew words and those such like will really refer to the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. And so they all these names for God can't be separated from Elohim, which is the strong one, the unique one, the majestic one, or the exceptional one, or we would say the greatest, because there is no other. Now, there's another name that's used in the Old Testament as far as our English Bible is concerned that's translated Lord. This is names of our Lord and who God is. But it's the the word all caps. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And there's really five Hebrew words that's translated Lord, and one of them basically all caps. Some others are large capital L and a little O, R, and a D. And there's also two New Testament words that's translated Lord. And as we think about this, the main one of that's translated Lord is the word, as far as the Hebrew word, is Yahweh or Jehovah, as far as our English spelling is concerned. And that is translated actually four times in Jehovah in our English Bible. Now, the word Jehovah is just a national name of God. And in fact, this word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, or that word Jehovah, is used 5,457 verses in the Bible, or in a total of 6,413 times. That lets us know that His name is interwoven throughout all this whole book as we think about that. What does it mean, the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? It means the self-existent one who stands alone without any aid from anybody or any other being in this world or out of this world. Also, it's the self-existent one who reveals Himself to man. And as Lord, He wants to reveal Himself to man. Now, the first time the word's used is in Genesis chapter 2, and it's used there 11 times in that chapter, and it's used with Elohim, Lord God, in other words, as it's significant that the first appearance of the name of Jehovah, the Lord, in the Scripture follows the creation of man. And so it was Elohim who said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man." But when man, as we see, is to fill the scene in Genesis chapter 3, we find that he becomes dominant over and become dominant over creation. It's the Lord God. It's Jehovah Elohim who acts clearly. So this clearly indicates a special relation of God in His Jehovah character to man. Now, what does His name mean? We said His name means the self-existent one who wants to reveal Himself to man. The self-existent one who doesn't need aid from anybody or anything, other being in this world or out of this world. And that's who He is, the Lord. The Lord. You see, we're living in a time when a lot of people want to talk about God, but they don't want to talk about the Lord. And He is Lord. He's got to be your Lord. And that's Jehovah. He must be that. And some people think, well, they want to, and by the way, all religions basically talk about God, but which one? You see, it's not the Lord God of the New Testament that we're talking about, or the Old Testament as far as that's concerned. It's another God, and shouldn't even be used as a capital G. It should be used as a little g. But thank God the Lord is our Elohim. He's our Jehovah, and He is our rock. He's the one, the strong one, who wants to reveal Himself to mankind. And He does that. Now, as we think about this name, this clearly indicates a special relation of God in His Jehovah character to man when He revealed Himself to him in Genesis chapter 2. And all Scripture, by the way, emphasizes this. Now, Jehovah is distinctly the redemptive name of God. You see, when sin entered in Genesis chapter number 3 there, we find that Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he took it, of course, upon himself to eat that tree. The wife was deceived, but he was not deceived, but yet he ate of the tree, and God said, "The day you eat of that tree, you'll die." And he was actually died that day spiritually, separated from God. And as we think about that, you realize something. As you think about that, when it entered, it was Jehovah. It was Jehovah that came to him, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. And so redemption became necessary to Adam. So Jehovah Elohim sought the sinner. He's the one who came to where the Lord was. And He's the one who clothed them with coats of skin. In other words, the Lord God is the redemptive aspect of God. So it's a beautiful picture or a type of the righteousness. And of course, that's what God provided the covering for Adam and Eve there when He slew the innocent animal, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to die on Calvary. So, therefore, He provided it was provided by the Lord God through sacrifice there that day. Now, as Redeemer, we know as Lord, He is the Redeemer. That's the emphasis is laid upon the attributes of Jehovah, which the sin and salvation of man bring into exercise. Now, there's many attributes that God brings in, He has as Jehovah, many attributes, but there's just three I want to deal with just a moment to see what our Lord is like, what God is like, in other words, the question is. And we have a wrong concept of God many times. We think He's just a big old bully sitting up there waiting to zap you out the first time that you sin and do wrong. But we do know that there's some attributes that as Jehovah He presents to us, and one of those is His holiness. His holiness. Now, really, really realize something. Holiness is an attitude of heart. It's an attitude of heart. Now, He goes back and discusses this about His holiness in the book of Leviticus chapter number 11, verse number 44 and 45, he talks about some things there about his holiness. In other words, as he says, there be ye holy as I am holy. And he wants you to be holy as he's holy. Now, holiness is an attitude of heart. It's what it amounts to. It's not just having a holier-than-thou attitude. It's just simply means a sanctity. The word holy means to sanctify, to set apart. And that's what happens to one whenever the sanctifying work of the Spirit is worked in an individual's life. And so, therefore, he wants you to be holy. Be holy. And so, when we see this, we see the Lord. We see our God and what he's like, and we get a good look, a glimpse of a holy God, of a holy God. And the Bible speaks about us as far as individuals is concerned. In Hebrews, he said, without holiness, no man's going to see God. So if you've never had the holy God would use a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your life to bring you to the end of yourself and save you, you'll never see God. So, therefore, his attribute is holiness as the Lord. He also has an attribute of his hatred and judgment of sin. I know we understand that the Bible says, in other words, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, in the days of Noah, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repented God that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him and his heart. And the Lord, Jehovah, said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him them. In other words, he's got a hatred for sin, and there's a judgment for sin. Now, the devil tried to tell you that God doesn't love you. He'll use preachers to try to tell you God doesn't love you. And I want to tell you, one of the attributes of God is his hatred for sin, but another attribute is that is brought into play, and that's his love and redemption of sinners. Because, you see, he will not at all acquit the wicked, and he will not let the sin go undone. Therefore, he allowed Jesus, his only begotten Son, who is Jehovah, by the way, to go to the cross of Calvary as the supreme sacrifice that you might be saved. So, therefore, that's the redemptive work of the Lord is what we're talking about, the redemptive work of the Lord. Yes, he hates sin. Yes, he will not let sin go unpunished, but he punished it upon Jesus Christ, Jehovah, if you please. He's the Lord, and he punished it on him on the cross of Calvary, and therefore he reaches out to fallen man to let you know that he loves you. Thank God for his love for sinners, but also he'll not let sin go undone. He punished Jesus for it. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.